We're 22 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Register today at issuesetc.org.
There's a social justice super clause. In other words, all laws should be interpreted according to the demands and dictates of social justice.
You know, the feminists used to say the personal is political. And we should have listened to them when they said that because they meant it. And what they meant was that absolutely every detail of your life would become politicized and that they meant to get into your life.
What we find here revealed in Job is that the point of being a Christian is Christ, is knowing Him who is the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, who shed His blood for us.
Homemakers in Indiana love Issues Etc.
You probably noticed it. I think most everybody has noticed it. Unless you think it's a really, really good idea, then you may be blind to it. The way that the man is depicted in pop culture, he is often depicted either in completely negative terms, a la kind of some sort of form of a terrorist, or he's just the dumbest person in the world, whether it be sitcoms or movies. Some of it can be entertaining, I'll grant that, but is there something at work here with our society's view of men? And if it's true, if men are, as our guest here in the first half hour of this hour of Issues Etc. says, if it's true that men are becoming the weaker sex, is that good for anybody, much less men? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 18th of May. Glenn Stanton joins us to talk about the loss of manhood here in the first half hour. Then we're going to begin a series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Ordinarily, our series with him is Christ in the Old Testament. Take a little break and begin one on the Old Testament God. Is he quid pro quo? Is this a God that must be bargained with, where you have to strike a deal with him? We'll begin answering that question in this series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer a little bit later. Feel free to join us with a question or a comment over the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. The Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Glenn Stanton is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about the loss of manhood. He's director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Men Are Becoming the Weaker Sex and That's a Problem for Everyone. Glenn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, before manhood can be lost, it has to be gained. You say that it simply does not come naturally. What do you mean by that?
Right. And it's a very, very important thing for us to understand. And we have to understand that from an anthropological point of view, in that manhood is something that has to be passed on from one generation of men to the other. So first of all, you've got to create a generation of men and the ideal of manhood. And then those men have to be able to pass it on. It's interesting that Margaret Mead has this wonderful quote in her book, Male and Female. She says, yes, it's true that women create humanity, but only men can create manhood out of boys. And so think about this. You know, we think about the 20-something basement dweller. We never really talk about the gender of that person, but we know that it's guys. Girls will more naturally aspire into womanhood more naturally and regularly than boys go into manhood. Again, womanhood doesn't need to really be taught. There are details about womanhood that need to be taught, but the essence of the thing itself develops more naturally. And there's a place in the woman's life, and you know, the young woman's life. I have four daughters, and that happened for each one of them. And it was a big thing for me and my wife that, you know, we just kept quiet, you know, between us about. But it changed the nature of my four daughters. And they knew, you know what, I'm not a little girl anymore. I'm a woman. I'm growing into a woman. Boys don't have that kind of thing. There is no physiological or even cultural development that says, hey, you are a man now. It takes other men to declare the young boy either a man or not a man. And that's very important and very critical for us as a society.
So what are we talking about as far as manhood? I mean, someone says, well, you don't have to teach a boy to be a boy. I mean, they're aggressive. They are often highly competitive, things like that. That seems to come naturally to them. Are you talking about harnessing those things?
That's exactly it. It's you know, the manhood, and think about this. You know, if I were to describe somebody to you and say, you know, she's really not a good woman, you would be inclined to go, okay, what do you mean by that? If I were to say, well, he's really not a good man, we kind of know what that means. And the guy who is not a good man has never really learned to take those male energies and to mold them into a socially productive way. And that is exactly it. You know what? Boys are competitive. Boys want to break things. Boys want to, they want to overcome. They want to take chances. They want to dare. Well, when you have a 31-year-old guy who likes just to blow things up, who likes to, you know, bungee jump and that's all he does, and, you know, loves to, you know, cavort with lots of different women and things, nobody thinks, wow, that's a good guy. He may have been like a good teenager, but we expect a guy to take their energies and to take their male abilities and focus them in, first of all, toward the family. That's another thing that Margaret Mead and other anthropologists say, that across all culture, the one thing that the man, that the boy must do in order to be a man, is to care for some woman, provide for some woman and their common children. So it's even Margaret Mead saying that it's the man that settles down, and he still has his male energy. He has his competitiveness. He has his drive to do better and to overcome other men, but he does that more in the interest in pro-social ways.
You talk about men becoming the weaker sex, and you're not simply talking, I think, about emasculation. What replaces manhood if manhood isn't cultivated in young men?
Well, and the point that I'm making in that article that you referred to in The Federalist is that, yes, indeed, there are people saying that, well, yes, men lead in corporations, they lead in government, they lead in business, they lead in law and things like that. But we also don't understand that men lead at the lower echelons. They are more likely to be poor. They're more likely to be drug addicts. They're more likely to, you know, I mean, just all the negative things that a person can find themselves in, men are dramatically more likely to find themselves there. And that is because primarily men are individuals that are more extreme. They try to go either absolutely this way or absolutely that way. And, you know, the general male nature doesn't know, you know, how to be median, if you will. And so we find so many more men today not being taught how to be men and developing that confidence. And so what are they doing? They're living in the basement. They're playing video games. They're not earning an income. Now today, women are significantly surpassing men in high school graduation, college attendance, and college graduation. And so, you know, we know that that is not setting men up for success. Here's what I like to say. I mean, if anybody doubts that, ask young 20-something women and older 20-something women today, how do you choose between all the great men out there that are marriage material? And they will laugh at you because, you know, those guys are few and far between. We are not producing good men. And ask any 20-something woman if that is true, and she will roll her eyes at you. Again, not because it was a stupid statement, because it was absolutely dead on true.
So what replaces manhood is, I guess you would say, arrested adolescence.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And in a sense, a perverted kind of thing like that. Because, I mean, it would be either these guys become very placid or they become overly aggressive. You know, it's the thing. Either they become gang members, you know, going out, impregnating women, causing violence, or else they become the recluse in mama's basement playing games. And you know what? Women today do not want either one of those kind of guys. And so that is the thing that men come along and take boys and say, okay, you've got energies out on the football field, energies on the baseball field, energies in business. You can't rip people off. You can't clothesline somebody on the football field. You know, be hard, be tough, be aggressive, but there are ways, healthy ways to do that. And men, good men, help young boys become good men by taking that energy, by taking that competition, by taking that desire to overcome, and do that in pro-social ways. First of all, with the family. You know what? Find yourself a wife. Find yourself a pretty wife. Take care of her. Become successful. You know, have a bigger house, you know, than the next guy. Not the materialism part of it, but do well by your family. Do well by your kids. And that is a, if you will, a pro-social kind of competition. Build a business. Make your business successful. Show the men on your community that you can do what you need to do, rather than kind of like a Hugh Hefner kind of guy who actually isn't a man. You know, he's not committed to anything. He never settles himself down and commits himself to, you know, one woman and, you know, their common children. He's just all over the place. He's a grown-up boy is what he is.
What does this do writ large on society? I mean, we can talk about the effect it has on the individual and the guy who is pushing 40 and still living in his mother's basement, the proverbial, as you said, the basement dweller, who is going to find it very difficult to get back on the track of life the longer he stays down there. But what impact does that have on larger society?
Well, and that's the big $64,000 question, and there are answers to it. I mean, first of all, he is not likely to reproduce himself in another male. Second, he is not a marriageable man. So he is not going to set up a house, a community. He's not likely to be, you know, coaching Little League Baseball and leading in scouts and earning money for the community and things like that. But also you think about, for every guy like that, there's a woman who is not able to become a married wife and mother. You know, so you think about that. And one of the other things that I like to say is, you think about the novel Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Flies, you know, we tend to think is a novel about the baseness of human character or the human nature, but it's really about the nature of the male, unattached from older guiding males and the influence of women. And when you have guys not growing up to be good men, you know, you essentially have a Lord of the Flies situation where you either have guys not engaging and just very apathetic, or you have overly aggressive and dangerous guys. And that debilitates and crushes any community, and it can do it within a generation.
You also point out, and this is probably the more dangerous and bleak, it's not merely non-productive, it's actually destructive element of this, and that is that 98% of the prison population of death row, people who are considered too violent or too dangerous to go on living in our society, are men.
Yeah. And that, you know, I mean, it's you hear the liberal press of like, well, you know, all this is just an issue of, you know, gender inequality. And it's like, well, yeah, women are more just as likely to commit serious violent crimes, but they just tend to get off. No, it's guys who are doing and committing these crimes. And, you know, there's a reason for that. Again, you know, any of these guys, we all know, okay, this individual was not likely to have been fathered well. He was insecure in his own masculinity. He felt the need to prove his masculinity and his strength and his significance in very unhealthy ways. He didn't have the resources that he himself could earn through a job, so he had to steal, he had to rob, things like that. I mean, those people in jail are, you know, if you will, a billboard for the crisis of manhood in many ways. And that is unfortunate, and that is why you have, you know, the overwhelming majority, if not to a person, people in high security prisons and death row being men. That is because masculinity, I mean, I like to say it this way, the fundamental problem for every society is the unattached male. That is the man who doesn't have responsibilities, who is not contributing himself sacrificially to others. That is the most basic social problem that any society must solve first. And that's what we're seeing when we are not able to take older men and help them form the younger men into productive, healthy manhood. It has to be created. It has to be intentionally developed within the young boy. And as George Gilder said in one of his books, all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put that back together again.
Finally, how do we begin to turn this trend around, Glenn?
Well, first of all, we have to realize that it's a need, that first of all, that there is something called masculinity and manhood, and that is just anathema. I think you said it at the beginning of the show. Many people would think, you know, with manhood dying out, that that's something that we could celebrate. First of all, we need to fight against that and say, no, every society needs and demands good, healthy manhood. And the understanding that it needs to be created. But a lot of it is the older generation of men taking, first of all, our own boys, and then boys around us, and teaching them how to be good men. You know, teaching them responsibility, affirming them. This is a big, big thing anthropologically, that the first step in becoming a good man is cutting the apron strings. It's a phrase meaning, you know what, you cannot be so dependent on your mama. You need to break from your mama. You need to go out into the world of men, and you need to create that independence. And that so moms need to push their little boys away to a degree, and dads need to invite them over into this other world of male fraternity to say, I want you to be a part of this world. And we need to start creating that very intentionally in our country and many, many other countries where we have processes and rituals for doing that. It's very critical.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Men Are Becoming the Weaker Sex and That's a Problem for Everyone. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Glenn, thank you very much.
Hey, you betcha, Todd. Good to be with you.
On the other side of the break, we begin a new series. Is the God of the Old Testament quid pro quo? Do you have to bargain with him? Make a deal with him? Sometimes it sounds like it. We'll find out after this.
There's a gun in my truck. Oh, thank God. I'm still a guy.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.